Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
But can we allow Reverend Chickenfoot to lead us after he comes from the theological cemetery? Or do we need someone that God has raised in our midst in the final days of the white man's world? We're living at the end of the white man's world. Oh, I don't mean Manhattan Island is going to blow up. I don't mean that America is going to explode. But the end of the white man's world. You got all kinds of worlds. You got the sports world. You got the music world. You got the underworld. Huh? We're talking about the white man's world. An end to this age, an end to this dispensation in time, an end to the way things are run as we have come to know it in the world today. An end to the world. Otherwise, God has no reason to blow up the planet Earth. He set the planet Earth on a course, and it still bows and bends and yields and submits to the divine will and dictate of Almighty God. He set it on a course and it moves at 1,037 and a third miles per hour. It doesn't pick up a second, nor does it lose a second. It goes and moves according to the law under which he created it, and it bows to his will. Nothing is as rebellious as the white man. Everything that God says thou shalt not do, the white man says, gee whiz, buddy, it's all right. Come on, try it. It's all right, baby. It's okay. Gee whiz, you guys are too rigid. You only live once, man. Come on. You know that Chuck talks like that. I'm talking about Bob. I'm talking about Bill. I'm talking about Larry. You know the guys I'm talking about. Now, sister, you acting like you don't know them. Well, that's why we don't allow no white folks in here. Because if we had white folks in here, you'd be looking all behind you and wondering what Bob and Bill and Larry and Susie and Cindy might be thinking. So this is a family meeting. We don't allow white folks in here. We don't have no Chinese. We don't have no Japanese. We don't have no Vietnamese. We don't have no Koreans. We don't have no French. We don't have no English. We don't have no Dutch, no Greek, no Freak. We don't have none of them in here. Nobody but the black man and the black woman, the sisters, slaves, and the people of God's church. You're the only ones that we allow in here. This is your meeting hall. This is your liberty hall. This is your freedom hall. This is your independence hall. This is your constitutional convention. If you're going to get free at all, it's going to be here. If you're going to get free at all, it's going to be under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Not the white man, because this white man is so slick and so quick until he can steal your language right off of the tip of your tongue and you don't even know it's gone. He can steal a thought right out of the middle of your head and you don't even know that it's gone. In fact, you not only don't know it's gone, hell, you don't even know you had it.
Because of America's wicked mistreatment of God's chosen people that are here in the midst of this no-good beast. So when God damns America, condemns America, you shouldn't get in the way. But some of you get angry. I can't go along with that. God has not condemned white people. That's so silly. You're the one that's silly. You should want God to step in and intervene for you. All the hell you've been catching from this crack. Over 400 years of slavery, suffering, and death. A strange fruit that hangs from the trees with blood at the root. Who was that, Bessie Smith or Billie Holiday? Used to sing it. Strange fruit in the south with on the trees with blood at the root. That strange fruit was the black man and the black woman hanging from the trees. Huh? Drowned us in the lakes, the rivers, the brooks, and the streams. Burned us alive. Cut our black women's stomachs open, pregnant, and snatched the babies from their stomach and crushed the baby under their boot heel. Tie horses and oxen to them while they're pregnant 8-9 months and beat the horses and make them run in opposite directions and tear our body apart so the black baby could fall from her. I'm talking about the goddamn white man. But some of you today, you like a milquetoast, sissified, punkified kind of teaching where we're talking about, well, maybe we'll be able to get along together. After all, we do have a man running for president. Hell, that's all he's doing is running. It's a pursuit he'll never catch up.
Be the one to strike you and take your life. We're in the 21st century. Sister Tisha Miller is dead. In California, sitting in a car, lying in a car, asleep, and four brute beasts take her life. Brother James Byrd in Texas, Jasper, Texas, dead because devils chained him behind their truck and dragged him until he was dismembered, leaving body parts all along the highway. Crackers are now all over the country, a rise in the Ku Klux Klan, a rise in the skinheads, a rise in the paramilitary right-wing organizations. Now they're just riding up on us, blowing us away in the streets, at the bus stop. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that there would come a day when the white man would be stripped of all signs of civility, and we would see a raw, naked beast in the streets. This is a raw, naked beast now. And they are backed up by a raw, naked beast, Giuliani, Safer, and goddammit, Hillary Clinton ain't no better than no other cracker. You Negroes should quit it. You Negroes should stop it. Hillary Clinton is one of the biggest whores in Washington, D.C., and one of the biggest liars in Washington, D.C. The only problem with Monica Lewinsky and Bill was that Bill was messing with a woman that she had her eyes on. But you caught these devils. Why are you courting the devil in the year 2000? So you can be a big nigger. I'm the nigger that all the white folks, all the white folks have to come by me, because I is a big nigger. No, you a little nigger, and in the 21st century, you shouldn't be a nigger at all. Stop playing games with the lives of our people just so you can poop in a seat in the Senate chamber, or poop in a seat in the mayor's office, or just poop anywhere, just glad to be rubbed on the head by the peckerwood. This must stop. Negroes running around in the year 2000.
Get into the jail for the stench coming from them. They just beat them until they urinate on themselves, beat them until their bowels would waste all over. He said he'd grab them and just throw them down the steps, just throw them down. And another cracker down at the other end of the steps would catch them at the other end of the steps, kick them and beat them. No, you got to stop. I'm here to tell you that the only way you're going to stop police brutality is you got to stand up and be brutal with this damn beast. You got to step to this cracker or it will never stop. You can moan, you can groan, you can sing, you can pray, you can recite, you can claim you know all the Quran, Old Testament, all the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the Quran from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas. You can know all the Medunetah. You can know Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, reciprocity. You can name those of the Netter system. You can go and study the Odu text and substantiate your position according to Odu. You can study the Ifa, or the Word, or the Akan, or the Yoruba, and run through the pantheon of the Orisha. You can call on Oludumare. You can call on Ilegba, and Shango, and Obatula, and Oshun, and Ogun, and Yemonya. You can know all of that. But unless you're willing to stand up and step to this white man, we will never get out of this condition. Frederick Douglass said the limits of a tyrant is prescribed by exactly how far you will let that tyrant go. He won't stop if you don't stop him. It's like any bully. The bully will keep picking on you until you get him to raise up off of you. Some of us will lose our lives. Tupac is gone already. Biggie is gone already. Many of us, Yusuf Hawkins is gone already. Many of us are already dead, and we're dying every day. And while we're here in Queens tonight, black men and women and young black boys are dying at the hands of some cracker somewhere in America right now. I would rather die for a cause than to die because you in some barroom pinching somebody's wife on the booty on the bar stool and get your throat cut with a Miller Lite bottle. It's a hell of a life, man. That's a hell of a way to go. Say, your daddy got killed. Say, yeah. How'd he get killed? Say, he pinched somebody's wife on the booty at the bar stool. The dude picked up a Miller Lite bottle of Budweiser Light and broke it and cut his throat. Is that the way he died? Well, he died in the East Coast, West Coast fight. East Coast, West Coast, you a damn fool. You'll die over some bullshit? Some damn records? A damn CD? You are what you call a recording studio gangster? Oh, you bad as hell in the recording studio. Ain't a nigga in the world better than you. Capone couldn't mess with you. Babyface Nelson. None of them couldn't mess with you. A recording studio gangster. You just as bad as you can be. You gon' blow, put your gat in the nigga's mouth and blow the nigga's brains out. I'll stomp that hoe. I'll kick that bitch. White man, show up. You can hear a rat pee.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
For the blood in my arm, the black is for the gun in my palm, and the green is for the trauma. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass-kissing niggas got to go.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro say, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away, let's escape, let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here." "I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You nothing but a house Negro." And if someone come to you right now and say, "Let's separate," you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. "What you mean separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa." That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master.
When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say, our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts, our Navy, that's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. Blood running all down your jaw. And you don't know what's happening because someone has taught you to suffer peacefully. The white man do the same thing to you in the street. When he gonna want to put knots on your head and take advantage of you and don't have to be afraid of you fighting back, to keep you from fighting back, he get these old religious Uncle Toms to teach you and me that just like Novocaine, suffer peacefully. Don't stop suffering, just suffer peacefully. As Reverend Cleek pointed out, let your blood flow in the streets. This is a shame. And you know, he's a Christian preacher. If it's a shame to him, you know what it is to me. Because nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old-time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man. And at the same time, teach us don't fight the white man. He's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen. The slave master took Tom and dressed him well and fed him well and even gave him a little education. Gave him a long coat and a top hat and made all the other slaves look up to him. Then he used Tom to control them. The same strategy that was used in those days is used today by the same white man. He take a Negro, so-called Negro, and make him prominent. Build him up. Publicize him. Make him a celebrity. And then he becomes a spokesman for Negro and a Negro leader. I would like to just mention one thing.
Sheer ignorance. Sheer insanity. For our people here in America to celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day, while white America still denies us first-class citizenship that goes with an independent people. And it is nothing but hypocrisy for the American white man to pretend that the Revolutionary War was truly a war of independence as long as 20 million black people here in America are denied the privileges of an independent people. Don't let the white man fool you. Don't let the white man smile at you and lull you to sleep. Behind that smile is a vicious heart. Behind those teeth is an animal-like beast who doesn't have it within him to want for you what he wants for himself and his own kind. Don't let that man fool you. When you look at that man, you're supposed to see him for exactly what he is. And if you want to know what he is, examine his deeds. Forget his words. He got a whole lot of pretty sounding words. Watch his deeds. His deeds are like the deeds of a snake, the deeds of a serpent, the deeds of a dragon, the deeds of a reptile, the deeds of a beast. Why, nothing but a race of beasts would take dogs and stick them on little black babies. Nothing but a race of beasts will stick dogs on black children and black women. Nothing but a race of beasts. And it is these deeds today that's causing the wrath of God to come down upon the head of the white man. And when you see him as he is and see how much hell he's catching, you're out of his mind to want to be with him. You're out of your mind to want to integrate with him. And you're really out of your mind if you take time to forgive him and ask God to have mercy on him. No, ask God to judge him. Ask God to do unto him as he has done unto you. He has caused your babies to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering upon his babies. He has caused your women to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering on his women. He has caused all of our people to suffer. You can't deny that. You may not like my saying it, but you can't deny it. Why, you got scars and knots on your head from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And every one of those scars is evidence against the American white man. And his
Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has nothing on his side other than what the white man
chooses to give. My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him.
Yes, sir.
This is American justice.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is American democracy.
Yes, sir.
And those of you who are familiar with it,
yes,
know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right, right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
Right.
But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Holler if you hear me. Yeah. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to block, the snatching heart from Jack and Martin. And the punk police can't fake me, American. We can have peace, I'm crazy. But right now I got my mind set up. Looking down the bottle, I'm gonna get up. Cause it's time to make the payback back. To my brothers on the block, better take black, black. And accept no substitutes. I bring truth to the youth, tear the roof of my whole school. Turn the other cheek, in case they can't see it, while we burn the other week. Now we got him in his mask.
to deal with the culture of the whole African Nile Valley, brothers and sisters. So let's first start with Tassedi. Let's deal with this area of Wadi Halfa, of Qusdu. And through our own research, taking groups back. Here I'm taking groups back to the Nubian Museum to witness what? They're not going to show you this on National Geographic. They're not going to show you this on the Discovery Channel. Even though National Geographic said every time we kick over a rock in Africa, we have to rewrite the textbooks. Well, they need to rewrite the textbooks on this. It's right there in the Nubian or Ta-Nehisian Museum. And what? Here, validating what? Wadi Halfa, going back 65,000 to 55,000 years ago. Let's go to Kalabolo in Ta-Nehisi. There we equally can see stones that our ancestors carved right there. I got to lay a foundation of these early systems, brothers and sisters, to show at one time this was not always a desert. You see elephants and giraffes as well as the Sutan king, but the Sutan holding the Sekhem. Here again, Tassedi was a pre-dynastic king of Terranetta holding the Sekhem. Again, it represents his divine authority, but this goes back to Tassedi over 26,000 years ago, even though this glyph may be about 5,000 years ago. Again, we see they are the ones that gave us the first stellar calendar. So astrology and ancient cosmological science and astronomy goes back to African people's genius thousands of years ago. Our ancestors, from their empirical observation of the universe, we mapped out the stars. We were not just standing around. Europeans, when are you going to come and teach us about astronomy? Asians, when are you going to come teach us about astrology? This was already known by African people thousands of years ago. Our ancestors called it the early African cosmic clock, where Neter stayed in each constellation for 2,155 years, making up what is known as the great year of 26,000 years. That means we had to observe it at least twice, brothers and sisters, over 50,000 years ago. Somebody knows something about an African ancestral genius thousands of years ago that they don't want you to know about yourself. They're still trying to write out Africa. For instance, Wallace Budge, the wisdom of the Egyptians, or Kemetic Africans, astronomy. Until the Egyptians came under the influence of Asiatics, okay, nations and the Greeks, their notion of astronomy were very limited, and their stargazers were unable to define the length of the year correctly. Here our ancestors had the three seasons in 4 months apiece, like Akkad, Pert, and Shamu. They gave us the earliest calendar. This is long before the Greeks. Let's go to Herodotus that Robert Babal even talks about. 485 to 425 BC. It is in Heliopolis that the most learned of the Egyptians or Kemetic Africans are to be found. All agree in saying that Egyptians, by their study of astronomy, discovered the solar year and were the first to divide it into 12 parts. And in my opinion, their method of calculation is better than the Greeks. The name of nearly all the gods came to Greece from Kemet. So this is Herodotus, a Greek saying that they got this astronomy from the Kemetic Africans. Black Spark, White Fire, Dion Chrysonomos points out in 38 AD, also point out the Egyptian priests mocked the Greeks because on many things they have never known the truth. What seems to be clear is that the Egyptian priests were regarded by the Greeks as the keepers of great astronomical wisdom. In the days of the 4th dynasty, the primitive Greeks would have appeared as barbarians and other Europeans as no more than cavemen by the sophisticated and technologically advanced Egyptians who built the pyramids. So here, that's why brothers still want to be a Greek, brand themselves, because we think that's the beginning. Now recently, this European named Robert Wuvall recently wrote his book. He gave a lot of credit to Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, peace be upon him. But although he didn't acknowledge some of the other warrior scholars like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, he's giving a black genesis, a prehistoric origin of ancient Egypt. But brothers and sisters, let's understand that although he speaks of Neptopleia, the southwestern part of Egypt, that he says this is the origin of black Egypt. That's the front room of the house. That's not the whole house, brothers and sisters. So even though Robert Wuvall and some of us are talking about Robert Wuvall's Neptopleia, but the point is it goes much further back than that. He's talking about these astronomical stones right here in the south part of Egypt, with ceremonial stones where our ancestors connected to celestial, and terrestrial events. From that spiritual connection, our ancestors knew this from the dawn of time. Let's go back to Ethiopia. We're deep in the house now. We're not in the front room. This is the mother of Egypt. We were just there and here in the area called Tia. Here you see ceremonial stones, brothers and sisters. Ethiopian heritage site. Right here, this is our Kemet New Tour. Hotep, brothers and sisters, again, We've come back to the dawn of time, dealt with the historical sites of Ethiopia, of Lalibela and Gunder and Aksum and all the historical sites. Now we're down in the southern part, and we just saw the anthropological digs from the dawn of time. This is an extremely important site. What you see right here is Tia. This is the Ethiopian heritage site. It's extremely important because it's a prehistory, as they call it, a prehistory time period of stelas, stones that you're going to see in a few minutes. But UNESCO preserved this as a World Heritage Site. So now they blocked that area off because of these stones here. It goes back to an astronomical time period when our ancestors were connecting terrestrial and celestial events, meaning that the agriculture goes back to the Nile Valley. It's been documented over 18,000 years. These stellar stones could have been around the ceremonies, documenting where stars were at various periods of time, knowing where to plant the seed, as well as other spiritual ideas. But this is where it all starts from. Now, there's a man by the name of Robert Bouval, who just wrote a book called The Black Genesis. How many of you are familiar with that? Okay, Black Genesis, and he dealt with the southwestern part of Egypt of an area called Neptopleia. Now, here he's talking about these stellar stones there around ceremonial astronomical events. But that, as I said before, Egypt did not start with Egypt. Where did the culture come from? It came from inner Africa. But Europeans still tell us these things, or tell us that, okay, now Robert Bouval has come to the point to say, yeah, it did begin in Egypt. There was a Black Genesis here. These early stones started here. But that's not the beginning. That's still not the beginning. We saw from the presentation the culture came from inner Africa. Now, one of the things that Robert Bouval used was one of the stones was Hedheru. And here he showed that here was the early beginning of the Neterte period, or the goddess, the matrilineal system coming from the spirit of the woman. But you're going to see that same stone right over here, and here we are way down in Ethiopia. But nobody's talking about way down here. So now they see the proof. Yes, we see things in Egypt, but it came from inner Africa. It did not come from Mesopotamia. It did not come out of a desert in Arabia. It did not come from Europe.
It is a crimogenic society, a criminal society, and a society that practices white-on-black violence, because it is a society founded on the kidnapping of African people, the manslaughter of African people in the mid-passage, the extortion from African people of their labor, and the enslavement of African people. Therefore, the very nature and foundations of this society rest on two massive genocidal crimes, and this original crime is a part of its nature today. How do you talk about slavery? That was back there. Or you know, whites talk about that. Well, you know, that was back there. We don't have anything to do with that anymore. You see? And it's an amazing situation because you have to remind them that you're still living off the interest of the wealth that your forefathers earned from slavery. You're still enjoying the accumulated wealth that began with the enslavement of our people. And if you're going to enjoy the wealth that was generated by evil, then you must take the curse that comes along with it.
The government system has cut off our history. They think that we have no history. They really think that our history began in slavery. If you will look at all textbooks in this country, even on the college level, history textbooks, there's nothing said about Africa in these textbooks at all. I mean, Africa is just left out, like it doesn't exist at all, just like our history. As most Africans who do not take time as a conscious people to come to understand their history, in fact, begin their history when the white man came and discovered us as slaves. Certainly, the indigenous people of this country think that their history began with Columbus, they would be in serious trouble. They who properly know their history know that the indigenous people of this country raised civilizations, the heights of which European powers have not yet arrived at. Consequently, these people have this to hold on to, and they know as long as they hold on to it and fight, they will come back to the grandeur that was once theirs. No people can begin their history in slavery. No people. God has never created anybody in slavery. All people are first created free, then they are enslaved. So that any African beginning their history in the United States of America is a stupid African beginning their history in slavery. And if you begin your history in slavery, the best you can hope to be is a good slave. Indeed, if you begin your origins in slavery, where's the inspiration to fight? A people who were enslaved must know at one time they were free. It is only when they know at one time they were free that they will be motivated by the responsibility which history imposes upon them to struggle to be free again. Any African wanting to know about their history and using their history as a weapon to fight must begin their history in Africa. There's no other place. It was only in Africa that we were free. Thus it is in Africa that we must begin our history. Once we see in Africa how we were free, then we will come to see who imposed slavery upon us. We will come to know directly who is the enemy, what must be done to return to a stage of freedom again. Thus, in the struggle for liberation, Africa is indispensable to us as our historic.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Cocaine, quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this. It's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. Wish y'all you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again. Like Wimbledon, I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your arm on probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, father, dead. With kids and I wish dead. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert. And extra lit mean an extra work. And absentness, what the fuck you heard? And passiveness, I've struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside
this is
my
why
DNA.
I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than race has done in recent years.
I live about my fucking life. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker of America. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix. Out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a crabby, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor. Beaches out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather calls. Only Lord knows I've been going hammer. Dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals. Yoga on a Monday, stretches in the planner. Watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never own, I don't camera sex, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way, you ain't shit without a buddy on your belt, you ain't shit without a ticket on your plate, you ain't sick enough to put it on yourself, you ain't rich enough to hit the light of day, tell me when destruction gonna be my fate, gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate, peace to the world, let it rotate, sex, money, murder, IDA.
I know to go. The Jew Holocaust lasted 10 years, but the Holocaust of the black man and woman lasted over 500 years. Let's look at it
1 10 years, 1 500 years. Maybe I'm a little confused. Maybe I'm too much of a racist. Maybe I'm too much of a bigot and an anti-Semite when I'm really none of that. But maybe just by chance, 10 years is greater than 500 years. Let's kick the ballistics. You say you lost 6 million, and we question that. You say you lost 6 million, but for the sake of argument, we'll give you 6 million. We lost over 600 million lives in the African, the Black Holocaust over the past 6,000 years, and over the past 400 to 500 years in specific. Maybe I'm a little bit confused. Maybe I'm too big a racist or an anti-Semite or a bigot. And maybe somehow 6 million is greater than 600 million. That possibility is there. You have your Schindler's List, which is really a swindler's list, because you were involved in the slave trade. You were involved, and you don't want to actually accept your involvement because you too want to escape reparations. You want to escape reparations and what is due the black man and black woman. Let's look at it. You talk about the death march. Move us from the East Coast to the West Coast, trying to move us from Southern Africa back to a coastal area, or from the Northern region to a coastal area. What about the massive death marches that took our lives on the African continent? They said that by the summer of 1942, there were over 400 ghettos. We question that. That the Jews were forced and confined into over 400 ghettos. Well, you might have 400 ghettos in just one state, one county. You are removed from your ghettos of Warsaw and Krakow. You are removed from your ghettos, white Jew. But these, the sons and daughters of Africa, we are still in the ghettos of white America to this very day that we sit here tonight. We are still in our ghettos. You talked about how they had to build overhead sidewalks. The Jews were not allowed to walk with the Germans. They built overhead sidewalks. Well, the black man and the black woman, we were not allowed to walk on the same sidewalk with the cracker. When old snuff dipping tobacco chewing, salt chewing, overall wearing peckerwood was on the sidewalk, we had to jump out in the street and let the peckerwood walk on the sidewalk. They even had what was called laughing barrels. If we were talking and something was funny to us, we couldn't even laugh openly. We had to go and open a barrel up. I've seen some of them in Charleston, down in the Carolinas, and stick our head down in the barrel and laugh so that when we came back up in the presence of white folks, we were straight-faced. Let's look at it. You built your Holocaust memorial. Cost over $200 million. That's what Brother Dr. Brock is talking about. That's what Brother James Cameron is talking about in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who is working to set up the Black Holocaust Museum there because of what happened to him and his all of our people, but him in the summer, the month of August of 1930, where he was with his two friends, 16, 18, and 19, accused of raping a white woman, which they did not do. You've seen the picture of the brothers hanging there. And Brother James Cameron was the one of the three that escaped the hangman's noose. And now he is now setting up the Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, and we should work to help them set it up, and we should set them up all over America. $200 million to set up your African Holocaust Museum. Because the space should be ours. The 2 million should be ours. That's the point I'm making. It should be our African Holocaust Museum. But you, with a swindler's list, have swindled us, have stolen our birthright. And now our African Holocaust Museum, you claim it. They told me that you get $21 million yesterday, they said, a year, just for operating expenses alone. $21 million from the government of the United Snakes of America, just for operating expenses. Every year, your Holocaust, you say, took place in Germany, took place thousands of miles from here, but no museum, no Holocaust, no 200 million, no 21 million, not even $1,000, not $1 has been put aside. And our Holocaust took place and is still taking place right here on this soil, here in the hills of North America. You say you were herded away in boxcars. Where's the photo? Bring it around, Brother Steve. You were herded in boxcars. We were brought in the holds of slave ships. You say it was 1619, but white folks do lie. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us that we came here in the year 1555. We didn't come on the Nina, the Pinta, nor the Santa Maria, not that way. And we didn't come on the Mayflower. We didn't land at Plymouth Rock. We got hit in the head with the damn rock. We came in the holds of ships to be made burden bearers for white America, stacked and packed like sardines in a can and like cockroaches in a Coke bottle. We lost over 150 to 200 million black lives just in the Middle Passage, just coming over between Africa and America. We have not only experienced a Holocaust, but we have paid a hell of a cost. I didn't come here tonight to be soft at a Black Holocaust observance of our own. That's right. A nation of our own. That's the book. Some of you don't want to go nowhere. You want to stay right here with the white man. Freedom and independence. If the founding fathers of America could call for freedom and independence, under conditions that were nowhere near the conditions that we have been and are operating under today, why can't we call for freedom and independence? Our own flag, our own nation, our own government, our own laws. But most of you just want to intellectualize the subject. You think we can read our way out of this. You better read, but you better get up and get ready to get free. Most of you want to sing, "We Shall Overcome." You better add another stanza, "We Shall Overrun." Lift every voice and sing, but you better lift every fist and swing too. At the same time, if we're going to gain freedom and independence. I'm a soldier. I was born that way. I don't care about nothing else but that. But aren't you afraid that you are going to get killed? Jesus, the Black Revolutionary Messiah, said, "He or she who seeks to save his life shall lose his life. And he who is willing to give his life for her life shall save their life." But I don't want to die for the cause. I'll kill for the cause. It's the only way we'll get free. We got a mighty God that is backing us up today, sending irregular rain, snow, hail, and earthquake, and confusing the government of the white man and the minds of the white man. The Catholic Church admitted their role in slavery. The so-called Jews want to lie. We just were 2% of the population. Don't make no difference what percent you were. 75% of you, two-thirds of you, according to your own Jewish census takers and statistics, were involved in the slave trade. I didn't say 75% of all the slaves were owned by the Jews. I said 75% of the Jews owned slaves. But you put a spin on it and a twist on it to make it seem ridiculous, because you're just a liar and the truth is not in you. As Jesus says in the 8th chapter of the book of John, that you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, Jesus said, he's a liar and the father of the lie. And Jesus said that his word had no place in the Jews. Read John, starting with the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. Down to the 44th verse. And when I say Jesus up here, I'm not talking about no blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, buttermilk complexion, white Jesus. I'm talking about a black Jesus that the Bible says would have nappy hair, and his body would be like burnt bronze or brass, as though it had been burnt in an oven. Give the white man his white Jesus back, put it in the garbage can, set it out on the corner, and let the garbage man pick it up and take it to the garbage dump. It's a form of spiritual genocide, a form of mental genocide and Holocaust. 40 to 50 million Holocaust survivors still in the death camps of America, still in the ghettos of America, still robbed of our names with Harry McGillicuddy, Jim Dandy O'Houlihan, Abraham Lincoln Culpepper, Hattie Mae Hamburger with lettuce and tomatoes on the side. Robbed completely of a knowledge of ourselves. No other people in the annals of time have been so robbed and spoiled. The Bible said these are a people who are robbed and spoiled. They are snared in holes and hidden in prison houses. But we must rise up like Ra. Rise up like Ra. And take on a new life and take on a new birth. I say I criticize the Pope. I don't have any respect for the Pope. The hell you mean I called him a cracker? So damn what? The Pope don't like me. The Pope does not respect my leader and teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He has no respect for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he is one of the perpetrators in our genocide and our current condition. Right. You offer an apology? We're sorry. Everybody else gets reparation. Damn Jews get over 70 billion, over 100 billion. But you offer us an apology. We are so sorry. No. Use your influence to get reparations for us. Use your influence to ease the debt that is strangling and choking the life out of African nations from the World Bank and the IMF and the other IMFs. You say, and this is the first time you heard from me on this, and I think you're sure that a black Holocaust observance. Well, you called for the death of the men, the women, the children, and the babies. Hell, you had heard that here at Howard University long before King College. Killing our men, our women, our children, and our babies in South Africa have killed them over a long period of time. And so I call for my people to stand up and fight back. And you have a problem with that? And because I said that we don't owe the white man nothing in South Africa. We give him 24 hours to get out of town by Sunday. process. I don't respect the elections process. You don't break in my damn house, bum rush my house, black boot stomp my door down, and then one day I gain the power to take my house back, and now we're going to hold a vote. And I'm so silly, you take the west wing of the house, you can take this wing over here, and any time a dispute comes up here, we will vote on it. One person in this house, one vote. That's a fool. No compromise in South Africa. We don't compromise with the white man in South Africa. You couldn't take America and then turn around and expect the white man to share it with you. Hell, he won't even share it with us. When he promised us 40 acres and a mule in 1866 and then turned around and Andrew Johnson vetoed him. No Jew in here has to live under the yoke of bondage and oppression that we still live under and have lived under for the past 500 years. The first president of these United States, these United Snakes, I didn't call it that. Benjamin Franklin used to write in the newspaper, the flag, one of the early flags was a snake for America. When the Union was split, the snake was split up. And they talked about uniting the Union and putting the snake back together. So, and they said, don't tread on me. That was on your flag, white man. So I call you the United Snakes of America. Because that's exactly what it is. As I near my conclusion here, at the Jewish Holocaust Memorial, they talked about books that were a part of the education system under Hitler, and talked about a little book called The Poison Mushroom. Well, hell, we got a book called Little Black Sambo. You telling me about a damn poison mushroom? Little Black Sambo. Dick and Jane were white. The milkman was white. The mailman was white. Huh? The fireman was white. The policeman was white. Mama was white. Daddy was white. The only one that had any black was Spot, and he was black and white. You got the little poison mushroom. But we got Little Black Sambo and many other books that poison the minds of black people here in the hells of North America. I have a few more points here, and we should be able to close out. We remember Emmett Till. We remember Cheney. We remember the Scottsboro Boys, as they called it. We remember the churches that were bombed then, and your plot to bomb churches even today. We remember the Sunday school lesson in the church in Alabama being the love that forgives when you bomb the church. We witness De La Beckwith, who killed Everett, who killed Medgar Evers, Brother Medgar Evers, and how long it took the so-called wheels of justice to finally get around because his widow, Sister Murley, didn't give up.
The first time I heard a tape of one of Mamiya's radio broadcasts, it was the first time I fully understood why the United States government was so intent on putting him to death. I make a special appeal to you, sisters and brothers, to fight tooth and nail to save Mamiya's life and to free him from the grips of his oppressors. As you honor our forefathers and foremothers, I urge you to honor our living heroes. When you honor the names of Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and Malcolm X, I urge you to honor the names of Geronimo Gijaga, Sundiata Okoli, Mutulu Shakur, and Mumia Abu-Jamal. I urge you not to forget and not to betray our living heroes. If we ignore their struggle, we are ignoring our own. If we betray our living history, then we are betraying ourselves. We could not save Malcolm X, but we can save Mamiya. We can save him, and we must save him. Because we love our brother, and we need our brother to help us fight for freedom. Free Mamiya Abu-Jamal. Free all political prisoners. Let us carry on our tradition to freedom.
Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, Stick. I mean, shit be real on war. The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. When you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, the yellow, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kits versus Beans or P versus Ho? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DPs, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop the top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war. You live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead Prez, the People Radio. Yeah. Sit down, get down, get down. RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to WRBG, the People's Radio. That's the table.
Fight you, I fight myself, I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life a living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray to me. Take my pain from me, save my soul from me, cause I'm alone to see. If I won't die for you, if I won't kill for you, then I feel this bad for you. Hey, 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 hey.
else is white supremacy doing other than trying to make absolutely certain that there is mass level of feminization of black men, because if they are effeminized, then the system doesn't have to worry about white genetic annihilation. A child in my office this week, a little boy, 11 years old. Mother brought him in because he was refusing to do homework. So I said, "Sweetheart, what's going on?" He said, "I have a problem." And then what the child told me, he said, "I want an official father." I'm saying it now and my eye is about to water. I want an official father. Little boy sitting in the psychiatrist's office. I want an official father. He said, "I know exactly what he's supposed to look like, Dr. Welsing. He's supposed to be tall and he has a lot of muscles. And he would sit with me and help me do my homework." Do you all hear that? I was trained as a psychiatrist at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, Washington, D.C., and taught that black people did not have the intelligence to talk about their feelings. And the best treatment for them was medication. I knew it was a lie. Here's a little child. I want an official father. Years ago in the late 1960s, when I was teaching at Howard University, a parent brought another little boy in. He wasn't studying. So I said, "Sweetheart, don't you want to work hard in school so you can help black people?" 11 years old, what did he say? "No." And so, of course, I was floored. You know, the child is supposed to say, "Yeah." "No," he said. Mind you, this is the late 60s, maybe, you know, 69, 70. He said, "If you try to help black people, you're going to be killed." I said, 175 IQ. Do you all understand? These little children are perceiving and understanding exactly what the lay of the land is. Just like the little children, if you go to school, you might be killed. In the white supremacy system. Now, why is all of this happening? I say because of what I've been talking about earlier. White supremacy says must dismantle the black king. And this is why I say that the chessboard, everybody ought to have a picture of the chessboard on their icebox. Because what we're dealing with is perfectly analogous to the game of chess. What is the game of chess about? I hear a lot of B answers. I'm looking for A. The game of chess in detail is about the white king checkmating the black king. Isn't that right? Why do I say it? White always moves first. So white is playing what? Offense, defense, and black has to play defense, offense. This is why this is the most important board game in what? The white supremacy system and culture. It's a game about tactics and strategy. Tactics and strategy and tactics and strategy and tactics and strategy. Now somebody say, "Well, that's an intellectual game." Football is intellectual. Basketball is intellectual. That's just tactics and strategy. It's just that they have convinced us that we're supposed to be genetically inferior in terms of intelligence. Black people created chess. The first chess champion in the United States was a black man. He could pass for white in New Orleans, and so they took him, of course, on their side. So they wouldn't have to say he's black. You see, but this is the game that is about white supremacy preventing white genetic annihilation. And so they've got their whole game completely set up. The way you do it is attack the king off the field, off the board. Attack the black man. Subject him to unemployment. Does anybody know about that? If you subject the family to male unemployment, now there's a lot of people in this audience that say, I'm a single parent, female head of household, and my situation is functioning. I say it's a lot of ladies sat last night and said, I don't need no man. You see, rolling her eyes at me. It's good I knew she was a sister. My sister, my family. Do you understand? I don't know what you're talking about, Dr. Wells. I don't need. That's what the system has taught us to say. See, because we haven't understood white supremacy. And so instead of us seeing that we're at a chessboard, we don't see this top. We're just what? Warring with each other. Down here on the black side of the board. Wondering why we're not winning the tournament. Because we've been lied to, oh, it's another side of the board and something is happening over here that is affecting everything that is happening on this side of the board. I had decided before I talked to this child in my office this week that I was going to give a paper in August at the National Medical Association entitled The Pain of Black Male Children. I didn't finish the story. The little boy said, if I had a father, Dr. Welsing, I could do my homework. Do you all understand? See, this is very critical. And what white supremacy has done, it keeps taking away from us. And then we say, well, we can make do. It's okay. We'll get our reward in heaven. I don't think God wants us to say that. Now, it may be nice up there. But it's supposed to be nice down here, too. Not just make do. And if we understand what the game is, we can do better than just make do. But we've got to understand the exact nature of the war that is being waged against us. White supremacy says, I'm going to knock the black king out with unemployment, underemployment. Lady came to my office this week. See, this is just a week of psychiatric practice. I'm a lawyer, Dr. Welsing, in a big law firm. My husband and I just are not getting along. I think I'm going to be made partner. I just don't understand why we can't communicate. I said, who's bringing home the biggest check? Do you all understand what I'm saying? She said, it doesn't make any difference to me. I said, but it makes a difference to a man. Do you see what I'm saying? She didn't structure it. She says he keeps saying everything is my fault. I say, he's not bad. You're not bad. We just don't understand white supremacy. I used to tell patients...
We are Africans, and we happen to be in America. We're not Americans. We are people who formerly were Africans who were kidnapped and brought to America. Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us. We were brought here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts that they speak so beautifully about today. Because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness. If you're interested in freedom, you need some judo, you need some karate, you need all the things that will help you fight for freedom. Nationalism is the wave of the present and the future. It is nationalism that's bringing freedom to oppressed people all over the world. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the Algerians. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the Nigerians and to the Ghanaians. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the people of Uganda and Tanganyika and Sudan and Somaliland. The Africans didn't get it by sitting in. They didn't get it by waiting in. They didn't get it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." They got it through nationalism. And you and I will get it through nationalism. What is it? What is it that makes it difficult for the philosophy of nationalism to spread among the so-called Negroes? Number one, they think they have a stake in America. They think they have an investment in this country, which we do. We invested 310 years of slave labor, 310 years, every day of which your and my mother and father worked for nothing. Not 8 hours a day. There was no union in that day. They worked from sun up until sundown, from can't see in the morning until can't see at night. They never had a day off. And on Sunday, they were allowed to sit down and sing about when they die, they wouldn't be slaves no more. When they die, they wouldn't be slaves no more. They'd go up in the sky, and every day would be Sunday. That's a shame. And it is that 310 years of slave labor that went in, that was my and your contribution into this particular economy and political system. They can give us the back pay. Let's join in. If this is what the Negro wants, let's join in. Let's show him how to struggle. Let's show him how to fight. Let's show him how to bring about a real revolution. Let's make him stop jiving. You don't need a debate. You don't need a filibuster. You need some action.
Because you're blind. They don't attack me because I'm a Muslim. They attack me because I'm blind. They attack all of us for the same reason. All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century and you walking around here singing, "We Shall Overcome," the government has failed us. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop
singing and start swinging.
Most of the Brazilian population is African, of African descent. And then a brother came up to me from Peru. He said, there are thousands of us in Peru, and we pour libations too, just like you did here. I said, of course you pour libations because you're African. And there's a move on by authorities that they have to deal with to get them not to call themselves Africans, but Afro-Latins. Afro-Latins. See, they're not Afro-Latin, they're Africans speaking Spanish. Although some of them speak English. The brothers from Belize, they speak English. And they got conscious communities in Belize. The brothers in Costa Rica still speak English as a way of defiance against the Latin American. And in Limon, which is an African city in Costa Rica, they are Africans with a Universal Negro Improvement Association active with a red, green, and black flag over the UNIA building on the corner next to the barbershop where the president of the UNIA still carries his business. They're Africans. To call them something else is to take them out of space and out of time. They're in Nicaragua. They're in Panama. Well, we know that.
They're in Honduras. Out with just a few statements. And one of those statements is made by Dr. George G.M. James, who wrote the book in 1954, Stolen Legacy, to whom we owe so much in the field of scholarship. And he said that the main purpose of all knowledge in the ancient world, on page 27 he stated that, was for us to become godlike. The object of all knowledge and of all learning and all material wealth was for us to, as President Imari Obadeli says in the book, Foundations of a Black Nation, he says that we somehow have to get to free the land, not just for political power, but to get back to the place where we can pursue the knowledge again, where we can solve the mystery of life and death. We probably would have solved the mystery of life and death had our high culture civilization not been interrupted by these restless people who were unhappy with themselves, therefore unhappy with the rest of the world. No one knows how far we would have went in our pursuit of knowledge. After all, we were living to be an average of 120. How far could we have taken it? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we could have lived at least 1,000 years before even thinking about death. Just think on that. So not only do you have to free the land and help to liberate the rest of the planet Earth for political power again, you have to do it so that all humanity can once again
there
get back on
the... No mystery God. Absolutely no mystery God. There is no God in the sky and there is no devil under the ground. Heaven is not in the sky and hell is not under the ground. Heaven and hell are conditions of the mind. States of existence and states of being. So Jesus told us to stop looking for heaven in the sky. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And that we are the temples of the living God. That the living God lives in our temple and he does not inhabit the sky, but he inhabits the higher realms of the heavens, of the realm of the secret innermost chamber of the subconscious chamber of the soul of man and woman, and this power bursts forth and emanates forth from him to set in motion a universal order based on principle and law. All of this set in motion by a divine power and a divine force that never dies. It's constant. It just changes forms. God is in man. Can't be in any man. He's got to be in the original man. Because if God is the first and everything comes from him, then he can't wait for anything else. He brings everything else into existence. There could be no white man if there were no black man. It is biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive white man to produce the dominant yellow baby. Biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive yellow man and woman to produce the dominant brown baby. Biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive brown man and woman to produce the dominant black baby. But that black man and his woman, the father and the mother of it all, can produce black, can produce brown, can produce red, can produce yellow. And if the seed runs wild or mutates in the womb of the black woman, can even produce an albino, something which is whiter than white, 180 degrees in either direction.
Man and woman, if it were not for what is called Africa today, there would be no Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, and the so-called world's religions. All of the religious leaders pray in this manner as they end. The Christian says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And he goes on, and when he ends this prayer, he says, amen. What does he say? Amen. The Hebrew, the rabbi, when he prays, hallelujah, kadima, kadima, yaum milah, when he finishes, he says, amin. What does he say? Amin. The Islamic imam says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he goes on, and he goes on. And when he finishes his dua, his salat, some point of the dua, somewhere along the way, he says, Amin. He says what? Amin who? Amin Ra. Amin Ra. All of the world's major religious leaders and those who stand in front of the people to lead them in the prayer service, all of them end in Amen. In the name of the great God of our ancestors, Amen. Amen Ra. The hidden one. The hidden one. The prime moving, creative, regenerative, and prime moving.
Here we are. Here we are. Right here is for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there in the Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put
the words on this place that the world can see, and that's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them mugger flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them feet can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Savali, that's patience. That's what the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhyme. It gets no realer.
We born not knowing. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser. Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat. If you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round. If the shape changed again, everybody would have started off. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Tell us teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose start running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers. People that's just ignorant. Scared of the truth. We patient for now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10-7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Damn. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
In world news today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society. And now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet. For the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks go get to get. So why you trying to catch them dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked us. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's beat the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That breaks worse than TG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead button.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong.
They try and separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest hit, a task hit, a nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong.
To free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit up pop. I feel my hot rocks like bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boys got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I'm through my homic. Dewey got a brother, I'm McNair. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house, nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil's dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face. But I bust two times to the gut. Through the Reverend Calvin butt. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on these sellout ass niggas. Doing it like,
nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
eternal. Master B. And I'm gonna introduce y'all to motherfuckers. One of the hardest contenders on the tank. Mr. Cook. We was all born to be so these evil souls. It was gold inside our motherfucking souls from these walls. The ghetto. Ghetto.
Niggas was put to rest, but I got them strikes tatted on my chest. I was blessed with my recon, saw the home.